It's the Opposition Research Podcast on HawkeyeNation.com.
Welcome to the Opposition Research Podcast. My name is Andrew Downs. Each week I'll talk to a beat reporter, blogger, or broadcaster who covers Iowa's upcoming opponent. If you have a question for who I should... If you have a question you'd like me to ask or a suggestion for who I should talk to in a given week, hit me up on Twitter at Andrew C. Downs. Let's get to this week's game. It's the regular season finale, a Black Friday afternoon tilt in Lincoln, Nebraska against the 3-8 Cornhuskers. But Nebraska is a better team than their record seems to suggest, and we're going to learn a little bit more about those Huskers. Iowa, a one-point favorite as I sit here today on Tuesday morning. That changed drastically yesterday afternoon, Monday afternoon, when Scott Frost announced that Adrian Martinez will not play in the Iowa game. That's Nebraska's starting quarterback and has been for 3 years. Logan Smothers will step in as a backup, somebody we haven't seen much, somebody Nebraska hasn't seen much. But let's learn a little bit more about Nebraska. And my guest today covers the Huskers. He is the sports director, assistant program director at KLIN Radio in Lincoln. It is Caleb Henry. Caleb, what's up, man?
Hey, AD, glad to be back on with you guys. Seems like all I do is talk with Iowa people ever since I left.
I bet, exactly, yeah. Caleb used to work over here in Des Moines and then made his way back to Nebraska, and now has covered the Huskers in various facets for quite a while now, and I always enjoy my time talking to Caleb. You know, it's one of these opposition research podcasts I get to do where I actually know the other person pretty well, so this is fun for me, Caleb. And let's start with the big news from earlier this week. Adrian Martinez will not play. We learned that Monday afternoon from Scott Frost. I guess, what do you know, what should we know about Logan Smothers?
You guys might actually know as much as we do, because we don't have access to the practices. This is one of the hard parts about being in the media, and you're trying to talk about especially position battles. You really can only go by what you've seen. And in the spring and then the fall, we get to see 30 minutes of like two practices each, where literally you get nothing out of it. So grading Logan Smothers is just on the spring game, where he didn't look that great, and then his five games that he's now made appearances in, technically five, when he went in against Wisconsin, he ran the ball once, and he handed the ball off once, and that was an appearance. Like, that was it, and because Martinez had a shoulder injury just before halftime, he finished out the game. But what you're going to get is you're going to get an elite runner. You were already going to be expecting that from Adrian Martinez as long as he wasn't banged up, and we know he is. But Smothers is quick. Yeah, I think he might be faster than Adrian Martinez. What you might not get, and we don't really have any basis to watch this, is the same passing. I know Adrian's passing has been herky-jerky at times. There's times where it'll look really, really good, and then you'll get two interceptions in like five passes. So for Logan, it's a giant wild card with what he's going to be able to do throwing the ball. I will say, if there's a comparison from games for backups to Adrian Martinez, similar to Luke McCaffrey, but bigger, I would say even more athletic still, and definitely a bigger arm.
Interesting. So yeah, I know a lot of Iowa fans. You have this dual thing with Adrian Martinez, where on one hand you see all the talent, right? You see the stats, you see the danger of a dual threat quarterback, and all of that. You also see some of the mistakes and some of the self inflicted things, and that certainly cropped up in this Iowa Nebraska game over the last three seasons. So you know, it's kind of like this blessing in disguise or this bittersweet thing. You know, nobody obviously wanted Adrian Martinez to be hurt, but there was a part of Iowa fan base yesterday when we learned this that was like, oh no, will this next guy make as many mistakes? But it sounds like you don't have much of an idea more than we do, Caleb.
Right. It's because you get the great, and then you get the kind of gut-crushing stuff with Adrian. And I'll say this about Adrian Martinez. We don't know if his career is going to be done. If it is, man, he's been fantastic to cover for the last few years that I've been here. But the reason his mistakes, I guess, have stood out more than anyone else's is because this team, while he's been here, has been in so many more of those. There are guys that are up by two, three touchdowns, and they can make that same mistake late in the game, and it doesn't impact the outcome. But his mistakes have impacted the outcomes right at the end. Besides Smothers, though, by the way, Heinrich Harburg is third on the depth chart. I actually coached him in track in Central Nebraska before I went out and hung out with you guys for a little bit in Des Moines. I would say Harburg is a better athlete with a much bigger arm than Logan Smothers, but I don't know if he knows enough of the playbook to get significant run. You might see two different quarterbacks in this game, but it should predominantly be Smothers, who is super smart. I'll give him that. If there's anything we do know about Smothers, is that he's going to know the playbook front to back, which there are times where I don't know, even in year four, if Martinez knew it 100% in the way that you wanted to make some of the reads. There were some decisions that didn't happen quick enough. So Smothers might have that edge there, but I would really like to have the experienced guy going into a trophy game.
Yeah, no doubt. So you talk about the running ability of Smothers, and I think Adrian Martinez is the team's leading rusher this season. So I guess how much does that absence affect the running game?
I don't think it's going to. I just really hope it's not going to be the same situation like we had last year when Luke McCaffrey was in, and I called it the same way that I would run NCAA football or Madden games, where it was engage eight and just send as many people as possible because you knew we couldn't throw downfield. For Smothers, I think it's not going to change the running game per se with him. Now, we don't know if Ramir Johnson's going to be going. And that's been really the running back who won the job over the last month or so here. You're going to get more running back by committee. So with the run game itself is going to be a giant flux for this one. Now, Nebraska didn't run the ball very much against Wisconsin, went kind of air raidy, threw for over 300 yards, had the most yards against Wisconsin of anyone since Nebraska a couple years ago. And the most yards, I believe, before that, it was like Ohio State in 2014. So the team was able to put up yards last week. The question I have is, can Smothers throw the ball well enough to translate that into this week? Although I know Iowa would like someone to throw the ball because they like to go pick it off.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, please throw the ball. Keep throwing the ball. You know, you mentioned it there kind of quickly or touched on it, but was this offense demonstrably different after the firing of the offensive coaching staff, the bye week, and then the game at Wisconsin? I mean, could you tell on the field that there was a major change within the coaching staff here in between those two games?
Not really. You were going out there and you were seeing some different running backs, and that would be it. You had another running back who left the program before the game, so you may have seen that young man out there as well. But other than just seeing some different personnel, the play calling was still predominantly Scott Frost, as it had been before, and they had said that Frost was splitting with previous offensive coordinator Matt Lubick on a lot of stuff, but we knew it was Scott. And so a lot of that stayed the same. I think it was just they game planned a little bit differently. You've got a few different guys that had a little bit more access during the week than they had previously, bringing in a bunch of analysts. Some guys that have got 30 and 40 years coaching experience. So it's not like they were filling it with grad assistants that didn't know what was going on over the last couple of weeks. Ron Brown, who took over for the running backs, he's been the running backs coach before. He's been other position coaches for Nebraska since the late 80s in different capacities. So he's been around this program. It's those kind of guys that stepped in to fill these roles. Really, you couldn't tell a whole lot of difference offensively. It was just the passing was working, so they really stuck with that more than they did the run game, although they had times where the run game looked good, but then also had penalties bring some stuff right back. That's really been the issue with the offense under Scott Frost, not just this year, but the last few years. You get some momentum on offense, and then penalties or just back-breaking mistakes really bring it back. But I definitely wouldn't say, if you watch the Wisconsin game and you watch really any other game this season, you couldn't tell that there were four offensive coaches that were different.
You know, you talk about those penalties, and I'll tell you, one of the reasons I'm confident going into this game is just that discipline. And, you know, Iowa tends to be disciplined. They tend to not shoot themselves in the foot, good special teams, things like that. And when teams aren't able to do that against Iowa, that's when Iowa has success. So 8 losses on the season, none by double digits, some really close games against some very good teams for Nebraska. Is the penalties, is this lack of discipline what has stopped this team from getting into the win column more often?
Yeah, but like the penalties, they've been an issue at times, but they've been much better this year. The discipline as a whole has been much better this year. I would say what's been the problem has been not knowing who your running back is from week to week. Some play calling has been a significant issue at times. And the specialists, you talk about good special teams. We would just take special teams. Like, just have somebody that can do something at this point. Give me someone that can return a kick past the 25-yard line, not muff a fair catch, and now you've got the ball on your own six. Or Nebraska has 25 total return yards on punts this year. A couple weeks ago, jeez, had an 11-yard return from Oliver Martin, and we all went, oh, that was a season long. That feels nice. We got double digits, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's a real thing. Or Nebraska has missed so many field goals this year, although Nebraska's opponents actually have a worse field goal percentage, I believe. It's pretty close, but Nebraska's opponents are like 50% on field goals this season as well. So there's something about Nebraska walking onto the field where special teams just goes out the window. Punting has also had issues. So it's really been the special teams. You have lost a third of the game where you can take advantage of something. Against Michigan State, gave up the field goal return for a touchdown. Against Wisconsin, gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown on the very first kickoff. It's been more special teams than necessarily the penalty discipline, and then just the key turnovers on offense. The defense has kept Nebraska in this game. What you guys won't see is JoJo Doman, who I think is one of the best linebackers in the conference. He hurt his hand, and then he played lights out against Ohio State and had surgery after that game. So there is going to be a little bit of give on this defense, and we don't even know if some guys are – between now and the game, if some guys are going to go, you know what, I don't think I'm going to go out there, but you never know where that's going to be. I would say it's just the special teams has been way bigger of an issue than anything discipline and penalties have been in the past.
All right, so you just kind of touched on something there, and that's where I wanted to go next. I think that Iowa fans mostly figured that by now Nebraska would have quit. And even if they had won a couple of more games here and there, you know, another losing season, another kind of lost season, another trip, you know, no bowl game, all of this stuff, that Iowa would maybe see a depleted team, at least emotionally, you know, come Black Friday. It doesn't seem like that has happened from afar. And we don't watch closely and we're not paying attention day to day. But from where I sit, it doesn't feel like this team has quit on Scott Frost. It feels like they're still giving it all. And you can see that kind of in the scoreboard and in the box score. So a two-part question here. Does it feel like this team is fully together to you? And how big would a win over Iowa be in terms of salvaging, again, another kind of lost season for the Huskers?
Very together, and this would be the, hey, as long as you beat Iowa, everything's all right. Everything's forgiven, Scott. A month ago, before we got the reiteration that Scott Frost would be coming back, before he got the backing from AD Trev Alberts, that the 2022 season was going to be Scott Frost, I've been saying he's back, win or lose the rest of the way, and it was looking like they were probably going to lose the rest of the way, as long as he didn't lose this football team. And he hasn't lost the football team. They keep going out and playing hard. The only guys that you have not coming back, and you still don't know what's going to happen before this one, but are guys that are injured or one player entered the transfer portal, and that was in a running back room where you didn't know before the firings who was going to have the ball week to week. So this team is as close as any team as you would see for being in a position that they are. 3-8 on the season, 7-1 score losses, taking every team at least down to the wire and giving themselves a chance. Lost by 9 to Ohio State and kicked a field goal late, missed the field goal, but had a chance to take the lead late in a game against that Ohio State team. This team has fought every single game out. I'm going to be interested to see what happens when you are in that final game. It is senior day for a lot of guys. They've got decisions weighing on whether or not they're going to return, whether they're juniors or seniors for that extra year. And then you've got a young quarterback making his first career start. How much is that going to change the fight that some of these guys might have? It does benefit Nebraska for sure, being at home to feed a little bit off of that energy when you're fighting. But you also have these guys have come out against Wisconsin, and I fully expect them to come out against Iowa this way. It's no longer a referendum game. They're not playing for their coach's job. But at the same time, if you go out and you win and you get the first win over Iowa in your last, because they've lost six in a row, that's something that these guys can carry into the offseason. That's way more of a foundation than just saying the culture is flipped, even though you haven't got the wins. you can show something that Frost hasn't done while he's been here. That would show true growth going into the offseason. I don't think it can be understated how big of a win it would be for Nebraska, whereas for Iowa, it would just be, oh, beat Nebraska again.
Yes, although I will tell you, man, you know, it'll be nice when this game has something meaningful on the line, and I think that that's going to happen, right? There will come a day where Black Friday will determine who goes to Indianapolis to represent the West. Until then, at least there's some things on the line, like you said, some pride, some carrying things into the offseason, you know, ending a streak, and I think for the Hawkeyes, it's continuing that streak. It's you know, salvaging... Well, you know, a 10-win season, which would be fantastic even if you don't go to Indianapolis. I do think the Hawkeyes feel like there's a lot on the line here. And then, obviously, you're not going to know who wins the West until Saturday. So in order to put Iowa in a position to get there, they have to win on Friday. So this is a big game for both sides, I think.
Right. Like, and they've talked about that being the possible spoiler. We've talked about that on our shows on KLIN as well, but... there is still something that, not just to go beat Iowa, but take something away. Take away that opportunity where nobody who's a Hawkeye fan or none of the Hawkeye players can watch what happens on Saturday and go, we've got a chance. Completely take that away where they have to watch and go, we could have been paying attention to something bigger than it just being a Saturday and figuring out where our bull's going to be. So there's a little bit extra motivation on that side of it as well, but I do look forward to the day where there's more to play for on Black Friday than just if you might go to a bowl game or can you spoil the other guy's day and weekend, where I do think at some point this does get turned around. I don't know if it's under Scott Frost. I really like him as a coach. He's a lot of fun to cover, and he's great whenever we've talked to him. Maybe it's the next guy. But at some point, this will turn around to where Iowa fans, it is a lot more enjoyable when things are back and forth. I understand it's really fun when you're on top and you've got that winning streak. Like, we look at Nebraska's volleyball team. Guess what? They've never lost to Iowa. That's super fun to write at the end of an article.
Yes.
But it's way more fun to cover the games against Penn State and Wisconsin and Ohio State and Minnesota, because those volleyball matches are back and forth and they're all really highly rated. I want that for Nebraska football and Iowa football. I think that would be a lot more fun getting to Black Friday right before you get into the conference championship game and you get into the postseason. That it just makes it a lot more fun for everyone involved. And obviously, I don't like being on the losing end of that, but I think Iowa fans would enjoy it much more as well if there was build up in the way you've got the Cy-Hawk, where every once in a while it does go the other way.
Yeah, I agree completely. And you know, this rivalry is, I think it is just budding. And I think as Nebraska starts to turn things around, it's going to be a lot of fun. This has been a lot of fun. Caleb Henry, you can follow him on Twitter, @ICalebHenry. He is the sports director and assistant program director at KLIN Radio over in Lincoln. Caleb, always a pleasure, my man. Enjoy the game Friday. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and thank you.
Hey, same to you, AD. Always enjoy it.
Well, there you have it. It is a big game on Black Friday. It'd be nice to notch number 7 against the Huskers, 7 in a row, that is, and keep Scott Frost winless against Kirk Ferentz. We'll see what happens. You know, I feel the same way I felt about the last 3 games. This is a referendum on Iowa. If Iowa goes into Lincoln and plays the way it can play, if the offense looks good and doesn't make mistakes, if the defense does what it does, and if special teams can do what they do, play well, make an impact on the game, I think Iowa's a better team than Nebraska. I think Iowa comes away with a win, a 10th win, and a possible chance to get to Indianapolis. If Iowa doesn't show up, if the special teams don't show up, if the defense doesn't get turnovers, if Alex Padilla does not look good, if there are drops, if you can't get the running game going, if the offensive line is a sieve, then you're going to lose to Nebraska. You're going to have 9 wins. You're going to sit Saturday and not have anything to root for, and we're probably going to the Outback Bowl. There's a lot on the line here, even if it's not for a Big Ten championship. Thank you so much for listening. We'll have this game covered from all angles, as we always do at HawkeyeNation.com. I appreciate you. Have a very happy Thanksgiving, and go Hawks!